renowned speaker and lecturer, and my mentor in the Dawah. I consider him one of the hardest working guys, certainly in the North American continent. I've had the opportunity to travel with him on a number of occasions. We know that Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, has said that there's three ways that you can know a person. One, you live with them. Two, you work with them, or you do business with them. And three, you travel with them. And I feel like I've had the great opportunity and honor to experience Sheikh Yusuf in all three ways. And I can assure you, mashallah, Allah has blessed our ummah with a very, very marvelous da'i. And so, yes, Sheikh, we would like to ask, what do you think is the most important contribution that Islam can make to the West and to the North American continent in particular?
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله ما بعد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم الله سبحانه وتعالى God Almighty told us in His final and last revelation to all of mankind an amazing statement. He said, I have perfected for you your way of life. I have conferred upon you my ni'mah, which means favor, big favor from Allah, and have chosen for you to submit to me in al-Islam. This statement for the Muslims is a very big statement. It is one, if not the very last, of the statements revealed in the last testimony to human beings. One of the very last things that came by inspiration through Gabriel, the angel, to Muhammad is what I just read to you. Perfected deen, namah, favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're saying, yeah, but wait a minute. You're talking about Muslims, you're talking about 1400 years ago, and Sheikh Muhtar Sabri is asking you about, what about Islam? What can it offer here in the West today? Well, I'm going to share with you something that might surprise you, and some of you may already know it. This is a university, a place of higher earning, learning, sorry. That comes later, hopefully. Then you can pay back the student loans. Anyway, but seriously, a lot of what we have today here in this country wouldn't be so if it weren't for the mercy of Allah, and if it weren't for what Allah sent down in His final and last revelation, that deen of Islam. And I'm sure that some who are not Muslim would like to challenge that immediately. Oh, come on. I recall one of our brothers in Islam was doing his thesis on the subject of the zakah, which is the purification of wealth through charity. And in so doing, he mentioned in there that Islam is a perfect and complete way of life. Complete way of life. His advisor circled it big red, you know, ink, sent it back for correction, and he said, I could have said the same thing about my religion. And in fact, he could have said it. But would that make it true? I mean, you can say anything you want to, but does that make it true? You can say you can walk from here to the moon, but does that make it true? One of the things I asked Muhtar tonight if we could talk about is a subject that's near and dear to me, which is called truth. Because that's something very important in Islam, is the truth. And not your version and not my version, but the real truth. When we talk about these subjects, I opened a whole lot of doors right now, and I'm going to go through and start closing them for you so we can narrow down to what we're talking about. Okay? But when we talk about truth, the one thing you have to understand is just because you say something doesn't make it true. And just because you want to believe something doesn't make it true. And in the case of the gentleman, the advisor, who was saying he could say that about his religion, you know what I asked the brother? I said, did you ask him if his religion taught him how to go to the bathroom? Huh? Because Islam definitely covers that in volumes of how to properly eliminate and then properly cleanse, clean, and purify yourself for men and for women. It's all there. We have some Muslims with us tonight. If what I said is right, raise your hand. Huh? Oh, okay. Now, if anybody thinks any different, we'll be happy to share the information. You can sit down and read that. But it'll take you about 2 or 3 years to go through all of it. Or you can just take our word for it. Our religion clearly shows us every aspect of our lives. From the time we are conceived in the womb of our mothers until we are born back to the womb of the earth from where we came. It does sound like a WD thing. So, for me, I'm going to tell you, I don't think about terms of what Islam has to offer for the future of the West as much as I do what Islam has already provided for all of us on this earth. What we know in medicine in this school here at Ohio University is quite well known for its high standards in the field of medicine. Is that true or false? Absolutely. This is a place of higher learning. I said it right that time. But where did that come from? And if you want to tell me this is based on the Greek and the Roman teachings and the schools that they had, I will tell you the structure might. The marble that they're putting on there right now in their construction, maybe that resembles it. Maybe this amphitheater that we're sitting in resembles some of that. But I'm quickly going to add that the knowledge itself wasn't there. The real knowledge, the understanding of the human body, of the mental and psychological components of the human being, what we're made out of, what makes us tick, why we do what we do, and what will the results be for doing it, this is known and established in Islam. It came perfected 1400 years ago, and step by step, as man becomes aware of more, learns more, he continually does only one thing, and that is to reconfirm over and over and over that in fact there is only one God. And he alone knows everything. And he alone has perfected this deen, this way of life for the human being. Okay, Yusuf, I know what you're saying. You're saying, give us an example. Go ahead, say it.
Okay, Yusuf, give us an example.
There you go. Glad you asked me that. Turns out I was ready for that. Okay, anyhow. I would like to remind you and myself that about 600 or 700 years ago, all of Europe was in a state of horrible condition. What did they call it? What did they call it? The Dark Ages or what? Black Death. Black Death. Look it up on google.com, okay? Black Death, Dark Ages. Go and look and see what the people of Europe were experiencing, and they were living like animals, and they admitted it in their own writings. They said that they had, even though they had big fortresses called palaces, castles, but inside they lived like animals. Dogs would come up and eat on the table with them. Huh? Kind of reminds you what some people are trying to do now in the United States, doesn't it? Do you know in Jerry Springer, a man married his dog in Florida? I'm not joking. That's not a joke. Jerry Springer's a joke, but that's not a joke. I don't want to go any further with that one. That's too much. But imagine that these same people, when they wanted to send their children, their sons and daughters for higher education, where did they send them? Actually, they sent them to Spain. Spain. Because Muslim Spain was 750 years of some of the finest, some of the best in learning and understanding. A lot of what we know in medicine today came from right there at that time. The word alchemy, have you heard this word? Alchemy? That's Arabic. Oops. How about advanced math, where you can use a letter to represent an unknown? Algebra. That's Arabic. Algebra. Many of the words that we know that begin with A-L are in fact from the Arabic language. A logarithm came from where? The understanding of the human being and their psyche came from where? Who were the first ones to talk to us in terms of veterinarian medicine? Muslims of Spain. It's interesting that here in the U.S., and we want to talk about truth a little bit here, that down in Mrs. Slippery, I got these store-bought teeth, you know. I get so tongue-tied sometimes I can't see what my eye teeth are saying, but anyhow. They had a museum there that was going to offer the history of Spain, and they were going to open it up for a number of months. And they promoted this, and one of our African-American brothers that had come to Islam went to them and said he would like to congratulate them on this great effort. And he wanted to know, when could we expect to see the part of Muslim Spain? They said, what? They said, well, you're talking about you're going to go back in Spain to the very beginning, so many centuries and centuries back and right up to today. I just want to know, where is the section here going to be about that? They said, listen to this. We have no section dedicated to that. In fact, we have no information, zero. They're going to skip that 750 years. Why? They said there just isn't room in the museum for all of it. He offered, because they talked about they didn't have a curator that can handle stuff, he offered to volunteer and come and bring things, but they don't have any room. He finally had to go to court, and then suddenly they found room. Amazing. It was in the parking lot in an old building. And I'm not joking. That man made it his commitment, his life work, and he put in a whole entire theater in there. They had a program. They did this program that I'm telling you about in that room. And he brought artifacts from Muslim history, from Spain, and talked about such things as, what's that thing that you use in the, when you're traveling, the, what do you call it? Astrolabe. That was developed by the Muslims. A lot of what we know in geography, a lot of what we know in how you measure land, surveyors and so on, comes from these same people. I'm saying that Islam has already contributed a whole lot to us. But we didn't know that. And you're not going to learn it from people that are already prejudiced against Islam and the Muslims. If you want to know the truth, the real truth, I think you have to go to people who tell the truth. I'm not saying that the people here lie, but I will ask you, do they tell you the truth? It's been a charge, a direct charge, against every single publisher of the publishing houses that provide the 12 top curriculum for history in the high schools in the United States, a professor of history published a book charging them with purposely, knowingly distorting and continuing to propagate and promote lies. The book is available at Barnes & Noble, Borders Books and Music, the bookstop. Go get a copy. I have one. The lies my teacher told me. Read it. And find out a little bit of the truth. It's a beautiful statement. I love what our country stands for. I wish we'd live up to it. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. A nation that was built on truth and liberty and justice. And I did pronounce that correctly. Not like some people are trying to pronounce it today. Truth and liberty for just us. When this great nation lives up to what it talks about, it'll come back to what it started out as. This is a reminder from me to myself, to my fellow countrymen, to my relatives, and to my brothers and sisters in humanity, that as long as we continue to play games like we've done in the recent past, we can only expect more problems. Because when you lie, it comes back to you many times. What happens, according to the psychiatrists, the same people, by the way, who taught us this over 1,000 years ago were the Muslim scholars. Did you know what they taught us? They taught us about lying. What happens when a person lies? Do you know what happens? Did you know that when he lies, he has to tell a lie before he can tell a lie? Because he has to lie to himself and say it's okay to tell a lie. And every time you come around him and he has to stop and think about what he said, he has to lie again and again and again and again and again until he can't remember what the truth is anymore. And I'm not only talking about when people prevaricate. I'm talking about not just fabricate, but I'm also talking about when people begin to play with the meaning of something. Well, I really didn't say that I wasn't home. What I said was that I will be home later, meaning I'm not going to go anywhere. But they were already there. And the idea of the end justifies the means. How about that? We've heard that one used a lot in the last couple of decades. Certain politicians have used that. That it's okay to lie, to cheat, to steal, even to kill, if the end will justify the means. But where does that say that in the Constitution of the United States? It surely isn't something taught from Islam. And it wasn't anything ever taught from the Bible. Where did this come from? I'll leave you to decide that. My subject is just to talk about Islam. Islam has already contributed a lot. If you'd like to know more about that, you can visit our internet website to learn about it. IslamTomorrow.com. Islam is contributing now. As you sit here now, you don't realize what Islam is contributing to you right this minute. And Islam will continue, inshallah, God willing, to protect and care for those who are the true believers and also help those who are seeking truth to come to the right way. I will not defend Muslims, least of all myself. We make mistakes. Some of us are worse than others. But I will definitely tell you there's absolutely nothing wrong with Islam. Allah brought it in a perfect state as He said, أَوْيَوْمُ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, I have perfected your religion for you. And so, as I started, I'll end on that little verse and then turn it back over to our moderator and my dear friend, Muhtar Sabri. Let him pick it up from there. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Now, given the fact that you've stated that Islam has made some very marvelous contributions and continues to make such contributions to society, what has made Islam to be held in the eye of so many non-Muslims, individually as well as institutionally, as a threat? Why is Islam seen so much as a threat today?
You just dig right in there, don't you? Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. This isn't what we rehearsed in the car. First of all, it's Allah that has all knowledge. When we answer questions, we say Allahu a'lam. But I wanted to really spend a couple minutes on what you just said. First of all, I'm going to tell you not everybody holds that opinion. You might say there's a vast majority out there, but there's also a lot of folks. I'm proud of my country and I'm proud of my countrymen. And I know that a lot of them are a little bit smarter than to just sit there and read that toilet trash called the newspaper and to listen to that garbage that they publish over the airwaves. Okay, they've seen enough stuff like Jerry Springer, The Simpsons, and all the rest of it to know not everything on there is exactly the truth, except the part about Elvis on the moon. That was true, I'm sure. So not everybody holds that opinion, but there are those who do. And those who do fall, as far as I'm concerned, in two basic categories. Those that are ignorant, uneducated to the facts. And then the other category, those who don't want to know. And no matter how much time and effort you spend trying to provide them with the correct information, they will continue to want to live in that. Well, I'll stop there before I get I'm from Texas, it's real easy to say you know, don't mess with Texas. You know what we say? You're either with us or, no, that's another speech, sorry. But for sure, when people learn about Islam, I want to ask you a question, and it's a rhetorical question, of course. Why do you think so many people are still coming into Islam every single day here in the United States? Ask yourself that question, and it's a known statistic that nobody can deny as much as they would love to. Islam is still the fastest growing religion in the world, especially in the United States, Canada, and Great Britain. Much to the chagrin of certain prime ministers, presidents, etc. No names mentioned, of course. With that in mind, I will also remind you that one of the subjects that's constantly being hammered on in the media is the horrible treatment, the very backward treatment, barbaric treatment of the women. Yes? Trying to make it look as though every single woman in the world that's a Muslim can't wait to jump out of all of that clothing and run to the beach in a bikini, just waiting for her great chance or opportunity. Am I right? Is that what they're trying to portray? Well, I guess the guys writing it want that too. They hang out at the beach all the time waiting. Well, they got a long wait. Because guess what? Women are coming into Islam four times, five times, six times, even as much as 10 times for every man that enters Islam, depending on which country you go to. I want somebody to challenge me. I really want you to say, I don't believe that. Come on. We get down. This happens to be a topic that one Swedish gentleman, a non-Muslim, decided to write about. He did his paper on why are so many women in the Netherlands going to Islam, and I happened to be there when he read the paper. I happened to be there when he divulged the results and findings of his extensive work. And he visited, he said, Holland, the Netherlands, Denmark, Sweden, and the list went on. He spoke to them in their various languages and with translations, etc. And he came to know that every one of those women said exactly the same thing, and he said it. He said it. He was right there in Malmo, Sweden, and I heard him say it. He said, every single woman I interviewed came with the same answer. When I asked them, why did you go to Islam? They all said, because Allah guided me. And then he said, and I can't accept that, because after all, I'm a historian. What does that mean? I have no clue. I don't think he knew what he meant either. But according to his findings, every single woman in every single country that he visited, even when he tried to prompt them, he said he tried to encourage them, well, yeah, but didn't you like get married to a Muslim and he made you do it? Or they say no. They all said, Allah guided me. Now, I'm going to just ask, and you don't have to answer me if you don't want to. People don't like me asking questions to the audience because they don't want to raise their hand. And that may be a legitimate thing. I don't know if people don't use enough deodorant or something, it may be all right. But in any case, if you want to raise your hand, you can. Is there anybody here tonight that Allah guided you to Islam? Anybody? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Two up here on the stage. 12. Do I hear 13? Do I hear 13? 13? Got 14. 14. Sorry. Got carried away again. I do that. Weren't we supposed to be doing a fundraiser, or is that tomorrow? Anyhow, tomorrow. Okay. Anyhow, I just really am adamant about this subject. Islam is there. Like it or don't like it, that's your choice. In fact, Allah said that in the Quran, you can like it or don't like it. I'm paraphrasing this very much. But it doesn't matter, the light of Islam is going to shine right through. It's there. You don't like it? Okay. La ikraha fid din. You like it? Inna dina indallahi al-Islam. Alhamdulillah. So for me, I say that if people want to know the truth, then all they have to do is ask Allah, because Allah, He, God Almighty, you can call Him Almighty God. Nobody's going to freak out, all right? All right? But Allah is the truth. Haq is one of His names, which means absolute truth. He is Al-Haq. And as such, if you say, oh God, guide me to truth, you will find it. But be ready, it won't be what you thought. It's going to be a whole lot more. So I'll leave you with that. You've been listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're broadcasting live today. We're here at Ohio State University. We have more programs coming up tonight.